Well, happy Easter. I know sometimes we get hung up on, can we say Easter? Do we have to say resurrection today? Do we even acknowledge it at all? I say we do. Let's talk some about the resurrection today, but we're also going to talk about the patience of Jesus. When I was drawing up the way that this extended series would look, I had my calendar and the way that the fruits of the Spirit would fall, and writing on another column, writing down what's going on in each of these days. And when we came to writing down Easter, I said, "Well, will this work with it? The patience of Jesus?" I think that works for Easter. As we've done with the other fruits of the Spirit, after spending time introducing the idea and looking at some general examples that we see in Scripture, we spend time sitting down and looking at what Jesus has to say about each of these fruits of the Spirit. And if we were just going on what Jesus had to say about patience, we would get to Easter dinner very quickly. Jesus doesn't say much about patience. In fact, the words patient or patience or patiently only appear twice in the Gospels. And it's when Jesus is telling the parable of the man who owed a little bit of money and asked the debt collector to be patient with him, and was forgiven. And then he turned around. He owed a huge amount, and it was forgiven. And then he turned around, and somebody who owed him a little asked for patience, and he did not show that patience, and he dealt harshly with him. And that's the only time that patience appears in the New Testament. I know you all are filled with great confidence in the preacher who just messed up the parable. But I think we'll get through this together. But even that parable wasn't really about patience, was it? It was about a lot of ideas. Patience wasn't really one of them. Jesus didn't talk a lot about patience. Now there are a few things that we can say have the idea of patience in it. He talks about who by worrying can add a single day to your life. He talks about let the day's trouble be enough for the day. Don't be worrying about tomorrow. And those can be kind of about patience, but again, they're really more about worry. And while they are related, and we talked some about worry last week, and worry's in the song there, it's really not a teaching about patience. So if we were just talking about what Jesus had to say about patience, we'd be heading out the door already. But I think there is a lot to learn about patience from the life of Jesus. I think it is one of those things that he didn't need to say a word about because he demonstrated patience in so many ways. Think about the times in the gospel story where we see Jesus as a great example of patience. For one, he had to be very patient with his followers, with his disciples. We've talked at times about how they were learning. They were learning the whole way, and Jesus was trying to drag them along and trying to teach them and show them what they need to know. And there are some times in the ways that they respond that you kind of expect Jesus to just go, "I'm sorry, this is not working out. I'm going to find somebody else who can listen. I'm going to find somebody else who is maybe a little smarter and can pick these things up, because you guys obviously don't get it. We looked in class this morning. Jesus is teaching about the very thing that we celebrate on Easter. We're saying he's going to be he's going to suffer and be rejected and die at the hands of his enemies, and he's going to be resurrected. And Peter says, "I'm not going to let it happen." And Jesus has to say, "Get behind me, Satan." This wasn't early on. This is down the road where they're supposed to know these things. We see Jesus being patient in that scene in the garden where he's praying the prayer of his life. You know, we have several prayers of Jesus. There's something special about the one in the garden there, right? The honesty that he had with God. And what's going on with his disciples? He says, "I need you. It's time to be in prayer. I'm praying over here. You pray for me over there." Comes back, what, three times, and they've fallen asleep. And I don't know if that was them not taking it seriously enough, or if it was them just being too tired. But we see Jesus come, keep going back. I need you to be with me. Stay awake. Three times. Again, three times at the end of John, when Peter has already denied Jesus three times. And then they're sitting at breakfast. Fish for breakfast. I don't know. But they've been out fishing, and Jesus says, "Come have breakfast with me." And he's sitting with Peter, and he, remember, asks him three times, "Peter, do you love me?" And even though Peter's still not quite getting the answers right, Jesus doesn't give up. Jesus is patient with his followers. And what about Thomas? We like to criticize Thomas, right? We like to say, "That guy's a doubter. That guy doesn't get it. That guy should have understood when he says, 'I won't believe it until I put my fingers in the hands and touch the side.'" And we say he's the doubter, overlooking the fact that the disciples who told him that got the very chance to do that. They had seen it, he hadn't. But does Jesus criticize Thomas at that time? Thomas says, "I need to see it." He goes, "There you go." He says that you have seen, and he talks about the faith of those who don't see and do not have to see, but he's not criticizing Thomas. He's very patient with his followers. And we see Jesus being patient in his ministry. We see, in contrast to what we talked about last week, in ideas of busyness and how we miss the opportunity to do so many good things because we're too busy. One of my favorite scenes, as it was pointed out to me in a ministry context, is Jesus is on the way to heal Jairus' daughter. Remember that scene? Do you remember what happens on the way? On the way to go see this girl, he's in this huge crowd, and there's a woman who has had an issue of bleeding for 12 years. And we were mentioning in Wednesday class a couple weeks ago, all of the gospel writers mention that she had suffered at the hands of many physicians, except Luke. The physician didn't include that line. But this woman who's trying to find healing reaches out and grabs Jesus' robe, right? And Jesus, who is on a time-sensitive mission, trying to save somebody, what does he do? He stops. He finds her. He talks to her. Heals her. Jesus had patience even when he could have said, I am very busy right now. There's a whole crowd here that wants to see me, but I've got something I need to do. He stops. And he is patient in the way that I shared last week. I struggle with, and some of you talking to me that you understand and have the same struggle with busyness and patience in that way. Jesus showed it. He didn't stop and give that woman a sermon about patience. He showed it. And I think there's a great deal of patience shown in the overall life of Jesus. We were pondering Wednesday night some aspects of the nature of who Jesus was. Talking about, we were going back in church history to people who were arguing about when Jesus was created, or was Jesus created? You know, was he co-eternal with the Father, or first among creation? And big messes they got created over ideas like that. And Bill asked, well, at what point did Jesus become the Christ? Was he born as the Christ? Obviously, you know, pre-existent, the Word. But at what point did he realize what he was? At what point did John the Baptist realize who Jesus was? And we're asking some of those questions. And that got me thinking, as I was already on this subject, of at what point do you think Jesus knew how his end was going to happen? We talk about the stress in the garden. Take this cup from me. We talk about Jesus knowing the end. And when he's speaking at various times in his ministry, he clearly knows how it's going to end because he tells people how it's going to end. They all seem to misinterpret that a lot of times. But Jesus knew. I wonder how long he knew. You know, the earliest narrative that we have of Jesus was from 12 years old. Remember, he's stayed behind at the temple and they found him sitting among the teachers and asking questions and learning, and I must be about my Father's business. Something was special, as it says he grew in stature and in faith. And we have some information there. I wonder if he knew at that time what was going to happen. I don't know the exact timing of it. A lot of those questions about divinity and humanity and how that balanced out and when things happened. But I know that there was a good portion of his life, even if it was 3 years out of 33, that he knew that everything he was going to be doing was leading to a very violent end for a very important reason. And being able to carry out that mission, to use the true sense of a missionary, right? One sent by God, and to act faithfully in that, I think that shows a great deal of patience. And a lot of other words we can put on it. We're talking about patience today, right? I think living a life knowing how it was going to end in that way. We see him talking about the time, right? Early on in the Gospels, we say, it's not yet my time. Later, we see him very, very intentionally acting to show that it is time. I think the whole shape of Jesus' life shows this kind of patience. I think we see patience in the resurrection. Right? We're talking about Easter today. Do you think it took 3 days in order for God to be able to perform resurrection from the dead? Just as we say that Jesus could have gotten off the cross at any time, I believe the resurrection could have happened at any time. But I think his disciples and other people witnessing needed that time to process what was going on. I think that not for his own sake, for the sake of those that he came to be with, those he came to save, it was necessary to wait. And I don't know what happened in that time. I mean, there is another one of those historical, theological discussions of what did Peter mean when he said, went to the those in captivity, and the arguments over lines and creeds that say descended into hell, and what do we make of all that? I don't know. But I do see there was something very intentional, something planned about that time, and that it was for, I believe, the sake of those that he came to save. Jesus was very patient in his life. He lived it. He didn't have to teach it. He didn't have to preach it. He showed it. He was patient in his death. And Jesus is still showing patience. Resurrected at the hand of the Father, Jesus is patient with us. We make fun of the disciples, the apostles, for not quite getting it. Well, how are we doing? We struggle. We rely on the patience and the grace of Jesus. Jesus has waited very patiently for most in this room to make the most important life decision, to give our lives to Jesus, to accept that gift and baptism. And Jesus is still waiting for others. Jesus is patient. The verse that we have in the bulletin, 2 Peter 3:15, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, he talks about the patience of Jesus. And he says, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Jesus is waiting for all of us to be saved. He is waiting for us to make that decision. I don't know how long he's going to wait, but what a blessing that he is still showing that patience. And so what's the lesson for this morning in all of this? We show that Jesus was patient in his life. There were a number of things that I thought of going with this. Is this going to be, patience is something that needs to be taught by example or not by word? Or is this, we need to spend time with Jesus to learn about patience? Or is it, we got to straighten up because he's waiting for you? A lot of things we could go on this, but I'm just going to settle on the lesson of what an incredible Savior we have. We get really caught up on self-improvement and what can we take from this and how do we read this and how can we apply this to our lives. Sometimes we need to sit back and just marvel at what God has done in Jesus. And in looking at his life, we can see that incarnation, that coming here, wasn't just about displaying power on earth. It wasn't just about showing God's power. It was about God coming close. Right? What did Gabriel say that he'd be. God with us. He didn't just proclaim from on high. He was living with us, with those who are like us. He went through the things that we go through, showing what righteousness looks like. He didn't need to say, be patient. He showed us the blessing that can come from a patient life. And we can take that last sentence and substitute all kinds of words for patient there. He showed us what a loving life looks like. He showed us what a joyful life looks like. We can go down the list. He did not just teach. He showed what a blessing. And it was that life that was lived. That's the reason that the crucifixion means more than just a flawless blood sacrifice. We get caught up in talking about it that way sometimes, but it means more. And if all that was needed was the death of God's Son, then truthfully, we should have been cheering for Herod in the Christmas story. Right? Get it done faster. Instead, there was something to be learned about how he lived the remarkable life. We are saved by his death, but we draw closer to the Father because of what we learned from his life. So, this Easter morning, when you think about the resurrection and the empty tomb, don't just see a rescue from death or a wrong being righted. We need to see a story that was not over and is not over. We need to see the incredible gift that is the life of Jesus. And sometimes just appreciating that is enough for a morning. We have an amazing Savior who showed us patience and thankfully shows us patience. I'm going to steal a line for myself as we close. He was dead. Now he isn't. Praise the Lord. If there's anything you need this morning, we want to hear about it. Let us know. If there's anything that you say, God and Jesus has been extra patient with you and you need to hand it over. If you need to stop waiting and accept the gift of baptism, let's do it. If there's anything you need, please come forward as we stand and sing.
I know that my Redeemer lives and ever prays
for me.